I have with me this evening Shakisha K. Ellis is my guest tonight. She is on my show, Kay, to tell her story and to help others. Phone lines are open. Miss Kay Ellis, are you with me this evening?
Yes, I am. I am here. I am ready.
All right. Where are you calling from?
I am in Willingboro, New Jersey.
All right, New Jersey. All
yes.
right. Tonight's topic, overcoming opiate addiction. Kay Ellis, what do you want to tell us about how your life began and about your upcoming book to soon be released? So, tell us how your life began and how it was before, briefly. Tell us how your story began. Go ahead, Miss Ellis.
Yes, how is everyone this evening? Thank you for everyone that's for tuning in tonight. I really appreciate everyone that's listening. My story started in a crazy way, and I was uneducated about everything that I went through until after the fact. My story started in 2001 after a knee surgery, a torn meniscus repair. I had an injury, and I wound up having to get surgery for the meniscus repair, and I had never did drugs a day in my entire life. I was 28 years old, and my life was wonderful. I was living my life like it was golden, and I got the knee surgery, and a doctor gave me a prescription for 120 Lorset hydrocodone opioid, powerful opioid painkiller. And I started taking that painkiller as directed. The doctor said take one every 4 to 6 hours. And I started increasing my doses for what reason, I don't know. And my life spiraled out of control. It went on. It turned from being dependent upon the medication at some point. And then I was abusing it because I was increasing my doses. And then it turned into a full-blown addiction. I was addicted to Lorset hydrocodone for 11 years, 11 whole
wow.
years, which is a whole decade of someone's life just bypassed me.
So may I ask, Kay, yeah. may I ask you, what was your career? What type of career you had? Were you a model?
I had a great, yes, I was modeling. I was a professional model on all these different magazine covers. I was at the top of my game in life. I was living great. I didn't have no children. I was single, and I had a beautiful condo in Northeast Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and my life was great. And I was also working as a caseworker with children with disabilities at the time of the injury.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that information. So since after you realized and educated yourself about everything, so what briefly happened after that?
Well, let me just say this. I did not educate myself through none of this process of the addiction because
okay.
I was unaware. I was unaware that I was addicted. And
okay.
I think that is a lot of people's problems today because people are taking these opioids and they don't understand that you're only supposed to take them for short periods of time. And if you are wanting to take more, then that can be a problem. And I didn't know anything about opioid dependence abuse or anything like that. It's just my life just spiraled out of control, and I didn't understand anything that I went through until after getting clean in 2010. But I abused the opioids, and it was unbeknownst to me that everything that I was going through from the brutal withdrawals, I understand why people, it's so hard for people to get clean, because you can really think that it's about your brain, which the brain is the cause of it, the whole addiction, but your body craves the medication, and when your body doesn't have it, you feel like crap. It's really horrible. The withdrawals is the hardest thing for me when I was going through my addiction for 11 years.
All right. Thank you for that information. So what inspired you to become the specialist that you are today? You are a family and recovery specialist. So can you tell us and our listeners briefly about what you do now?
Yes. So I am a certified family recovery specialist. And what I do is, with the help of others, which I am building a team as we speak of individuals, that we go out and we help people get through addictions. We do interventions. There is a show on A&E called Intervention where people go out and they stage interventions for people to get help to get off the drugs. So what I'm qualified to do, because let me just say this, I give a lot of advice to people on all of my social media. I do at least 4 or 5 interventions a week, and I tell people I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a medical professional, but the advice I'm giving you is based upon my own personal experience, period. I don't tell people to go cold turkey or any of that. But the team that I'm putting together will be myself, which is the recovery certified specialist, and some type of medical professional that can come along with me to the interventions in case someone is brutally having withdrawals or sick. And there'll be other team members a part of my program, but I cannot give medical advice. So it's
okay.
Just, you know, it's, yes.
Yes, you have to really advise people that, because they expect you to know everything. But I would like to ask you this, Kay. Why you request, what's with the song Keep On by D-Train? Is that a motivational song for you?
Huh, this song I love to death. Like, this was my mom and dad's favorite song when they got together in late 80s, early 90s. My mom and dad was married for 35 years. But I just remember in this song, as a kid growing up and hearing this song, I used to dance off of it because I loved the beat. And I was just like, oh, my God, I love this song. But when I got older and understood that the song has a powerful message, it's telling you to keep on, keep it on. Keep on.
Okay.
You got to keep it on. And that's
okay.
What inspired me with this song.
Okay. All right. All right, so back to your story with you being a family and recovery specialist. And so you mentioned that you lost everything and your life was just turned upside down. You moved in with your parents and they didn't understand what was happening with you at the time. And you, what was the turnaround? What inspired you? Of course, you didn't go cold turkey. So can you tell our listeners out there and any persons that may need some help and is suffering, what is your advice or what is your special treatment that you advise a person how to do this, how to get off of the pills?
Well, this is a hard question because there are many pathways to recovery. And my story is unique. It's very different. I cold turkeyed. Cold turkey means that you abruptly stop taking a drug and you just go through the withdrawal and the brutal stuff without a medical professional, which
so
I would never, ever recommend.
So tell our listeners and persons that are listening what actually happened to you. Your body, your mental status and everything. Tell it.
Yes.
Okay? I'll tell it.
Yes. So I just want people to know, because I know a lot of people struggle with the withdrawals. And I'm going to tell you, when I cold turkey, you know, medical professionals always say things like, oh, you can't die from it and you'll get through it. But what I'm telling you is this. It feels like you're going to die when you're going through opioid or heroin-related withdrawals, because heroin and opioids are derived from the same source of medication, the poppy seeds. So that's what makes it the opioid. So I went through a lot of I went through a lot of withdrawal, and it was really, really bad. I'm talking, when I cold turkey, I had severe anxiety. I had severe irritability. I was craving for the drug, for the Lord said, like, every time I took the pill, I would sit down and drink something hot or eat a meal with it. And so every time I took a pill, eating was associated with taking the opioid. I never just took the pills on an empty stomach. I always ate a meal with taking the pill. So I went through rapid breathing. I went through yawning excessively. Like, you know, when you're taking opioids, they suppress everything in your body. And what I mean by suppress, it means everything. You can't feel nothing. So I wasn't yawning. I wasn't stretching. I wasn't breathing right. I was sitting up sleeping on a pillow because I couldn't breathe out of my nostrils.
Uh-huh,
I had lost my I lost my menstrual cycle for 6 months. Everything
what?
In my body was suppressed. Yes, I lost my menstrual cycle for 6 months because of I was taking so many opioids. And
okay.
So what happens is with the suppression, when you withdraw or you start going through that process, everything comes back at once. Yawning, sneezing, stretching, excessive diarrhea, vomiting, all these symptoms come back at once because they were suppressed once your body starts to come off the medication. But ultimately, I went deaf. I went fully deaf from the opioids because
you couldn't
I was taking
hear?
So many. I could not hear. I remember sitting on my couch, and I went through a short process of trying to figure out why I was going deaf. And I was living in Delaware at the time, and I was seeing an audiologist, and this audiologist was uneducated. He couldn't tell me why I was going deaf. And all he could tell me is that we'll give you some hearing aids. Your insurance will pay for hearing aids, Kay. You'll be okay. And I got the hearing aids for a short period of time, and I got fitted for the hearing aids. And hearing aids basically work for people that still have at least 20 or 30% of their hearing left. But when you are fully deaf, then there's no hope unless you get the cochlear implant, is what I have now, which allows me to hear you on this conversation right now.
Y'all,
the
right.
The cochlear implant.
Okay,
yes,
so.
I have a cochlear implant.
So who, what doctor said to get you the implant?
So listen, so this is really crazy because my son was, my first child was born, and he was a preemie. He was in the NIC unit, and he was at CHOP Philadelphia. Philadelphia CHOP Hospital, the top hospital in Philadelphia for babies that are preemies and all types of things like that. My son was in there, and I couldn't hear the doctors. And I'm like, okay, my son is going to be coming home soon. My son spent 6 months in the NIC unit. And so I was nervous, and I was saying, I can't hear. This is my first child. How am I going to bring him home, and I can't hear my baby?
Okay.
How am I going to do this?
Yeah, yeah.
And the doctor said to me, Miss Ellis, we have a program connected through Skype, and what we're going to do is we're going to bring our computers into the room, and we're going to speak into a microphone, and all of the words that we are saying will come up in the computer, and you can read everything we're saying.
Okay.
Yes. That was how I was able to communicate with the doctors when my son was in the NICU. And they're the ones that told me about the cochlear implant.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yes.
We have a caller.
CHOP Philadelphia.
We have a caller that just had been holding on. Caller, area code 267. Please state your name. Go ahead and speak, please. Hello? Caller, area code 267. Well, obviously they just calling just to listen. But when you calling in, well, the person's phone number, area code 267-357-9816.
That's a Pennsylvania area code.
Okay. Well, caller just
it's somebody
you
I know, definitely.
Okay.
Well, whoever that is, thank you for calling.
Yeah, well, to tell you the truth, when on live radio, you're holding up the call line. you're supposed to listen through the link online. That's how you're supposed to do that. You can't just hang on and just listen in on the show. But I'll let you slide this time, whoever you are.
Okay, that's a good one.
All right. Well, so what are you going to, since you are a specialist now, a specialist for recovery, so mm-hmm. what advice you want to give to those people that's popping pills right now and just loosely doing damage to themselves, not knowing what their body may or may not do or can take? What do you say from your experience, which you can tell people now? Or what have you been telling folks now? Ms.
Yeah,
Ellis?
So this is what I say. Like, my delivery is raw and uncut and unsugarcoated. And I say this all the time, that when I do my live videos on my social media, I talk really gritty and unsugarcoated, and I tell people, you're going to die, period. If you are buying opioids off the street,
oh.
you don't know, you can't trust the person. I have a direct delivery, but at the end of the day, I have a very compassionate spirit. And so I'm very compassionate when it comes to people that are struggling with this. So this is my advice first to the family members, loved ones, and people that know people that they notice taking drugs and they can't, they're far away from the reach. You know what I mean? Because I was far away. People couldn't reach me. Like, I was suffering silently. Nobody knew what I was going through. My own parents didn't know. My mother and my father did not know that I was fully addicted to these opioids. And so what I want to say is, first, if you are someone that knows someone that is addicted to any painkiller or heroin or whatever, this is what you need to do first. You need to find out how to get Narcan certified. Do you hear me? Like, people really are so confident with their situations. I mean, even people that are using, they'd be like, oh, I'm good. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to take these perks, and I'm good. And this is the attitude that people have. This is why everybody is dying and whole communities are dying, because people are turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to the opioid pandemic. And people don't get directly involved until it's their mother, their father, their grandmother, their son, their daughter, the cousin, the best friend of the sister or the brother. People don't get involved until someone is directly affected. But what I'm telling you is this. It's important that you educate yourself and advocate for your family members and people you know. You know, don't just take your mom to the doctors and say, okay, my mom sprained her leg walking from the car to the Walmart door, and she, you know, she's hurt. Here, give your mom a prescription. Do not let a doctor give your mom a prescription for 120 Lorsets or Percocets or hydrocodone or fentanyl patches. Don't let nobody just give your people that stuff. First, advocate for someone if they can't advocate, which means an elderly person or a child. Or if you're having some problems advocating for yourself, ask the doctor questions. Why do I have to take this medication? How long do I have to take this medication?
Right.
What is it for? And why are you giving me that specific painkiller? You have to ask questions, period.
And not only
you have
that.
To ask questions.
And not only that, even after asking the questions, ask if there are other options can they take besides opiates.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. People have to ask questions. I mean, I have lived with friends. I have lived with people, some of my closest friends. We lived together. We were roommates in a home. I helped take care of their children, and I was fully addicted to opioids, and they didn't even know. So I'm telling people, and before you accept a prescription for any Percocet, Lorset, or any opioid from a doctor, advocate for yourself. Advocate for your family members. Say, hey, why are you giving me this? How long do I have to take it? And that's that. And people have to also realize something that's very, the most powerful part of my message is this. There is a very high potential for abuse with the opiates. and they are so addictive. So even if you are a regular person, you can be in a corporate position, you can be a doctor, you can be a police officer, you can be a lawyer, you can be a dad, a mom, you can be anybody. And when you have a prescription for the opioid and you take it legitimately, right,
mm-hmm.
even under the instruction of the doctor, there is still a significant likelihood that you can abuse it. So it doesn't
yeah.
even matter if people just turn their eye and be like, okay, this can't happen to me. This can't happen to my kids. But you're driving down the road, going to work, trying to get to work, rushing, and you hit somebody or somebody hit the back of you and you got a neck injury and you go to the doctor and the doctor say, okay, here's a prescription for 100 Lorset. Look at my messages, read my live videos, and understand that one prescription can make you an addict, a full-blown addict, addicted for the rest for a long time, period.
Well, nowadays, let me make this clear. Nowadays that
mm-hmm.
there are some states like the state of Indiana where I live, they are cracking
mm-hmm.
down on opiate abuse. Even the physicians, medical pain clinics, doctor write prescriptions,
mm-hmm.
and not only
mm-hmm.
that, they check in to see how long you're on the prescription. Now they give
yes.
you up. They write your prescription depending on your insurance for
mm-hmm.
you to be taking an opiate after an injury, back pain or whatever,
mm-hmm.
up to 6 months. How does that sound? But it may
that
depend
does not sound
on.
Good.
It doesn't.
No,
or it depends
6 months
on.
Is a very long time.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sorry. Listen,
6 months is a long time.
A person can get addicted. 6 months is a hell of a long time, and I'm going to tell you why. Because within 5 days or a week of taking an opioid, you can become addicted, and I'm going to tell you why. You can become addicted in a short period of time because it depends on the person's brain and the person's predisposition. If you don't know what predisposition is, it is your family's history. If you have a mother or a father or an uncle or an aunt or a sibling or someone in your direct family that has ever used drugs and been addicted, you are more susceptible to trying something once and loving it. And that was my story. That was my story. So, you know, 6 months is a very long time. Like, when I was taking the opioids, I had a doctor prescribe me these opioids. You ready for this? You want to know how many,
mm-hmm.
how long this doctor prescribed me these opioids?
How long?
8 years. 8 years.
For a knee injury? For a knee
I'm
injury?
I'm not lying. It's going to be in my full autobiography. A doctor prescribed me Lorset hydrocodone in amounts from 120 to 150 to 230 at one time for 8 years. I was seeing this doctor from 2001 to 2008, okay, and period. I started going deaf in 2009. But what I'm saying is 6 months is a long time. If a person
okay.
has a debilitating disorder, God forbid, if someone has something like lupus or, you know, something debilitating.
Cancer,
yeah, like something like that. Parkinson's disease, it's a lot of different diseases that are out that people take the opioids to control the muscle aches and the pains that are debilitating for some people. I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I don't take painkillers for that. I take Motrin. And I take medications that suppress my symptoms for the rheumatoid arthritis, which is in the lupus family. But if you have a condition that you have to take the opioid, that's one thing. But if you are someone that have like a basic surgery or procedure or a toothache or a tooth pull or root canal, doctors have to do better. These doctors have to do better. I'm sorry. They have to. They have to do better with their prescribing. How are you... How are you prescribing all these opioids?
Well, I
how?
Think
how
a lot of...
How are you prescribing for 8 years?
I think a lot of these doctors and the government is cracking down on these medical pain clinics and these physicians that is prescribing opiates. I think they're doing a better job than what they used to from... Where your point,
yes.
what happened to you, they don't do that no more. They don't prescribe
right.
opiates for 8 years
right.
on a person like that
yes.
anymore.
You're
Hold
right.
on a second.
Right.
I got a caller. Area code 215.
Great.
Please state your name. Speak, please. Area code 215. Yeah, I'm looking right at their phone number, and they're just calling in just to sit in and listen.
I have people texting me trying to get in. I don't know how. Do they have to mute their phone?
Yes, I mute their phone when they're not speaking.
Do they have to mute
my name?
Yeah. See, if you're just going to listen, you need to get off my live air connection and link in on the link for listening purposes only.
Oh, they have to go to the link to call the number? The link,
no.
not the phone number?
Yeah, just the link, just to listen. When you calling on air, I'm thinking you're calling to speak.
Yes, I'm calling to speak. Hello?
Hello, go ahead.
Okay,
speak.
I can hear her.
Yeah,
yes,
go ahead and speak.
Okay, all right. How y'all doing this evening?
All right,
Hi.
What's your name? Where are you calling from, and what's your name?
I'm calling from Delaware, originally from Philadelphia. I'm a good friend of Shakaysha.
Okay.
My name is Tanisha Thomas.
All right, okay. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Absolutely. And I'm calling in. And actually, I'm a very good friend of hers who was roommates with her for several years, and not knowing her addiction to these painkillers and pain pills that she's speaking of, being actually in the same residence with her for several months, almost up to a year, and not
wow.
even knowing the addiction that she was chasing. I have to say that she hit it very well, and then, you know, she covered it up very, very well. But I'm proud of her her sobriety.
Thank you.
And most
Thank
importantly,
you.
Just her being an advocate for a lot of people out here. I was actually recently involved in a motor vehicle accident where I lost four teeth 2 years ago. I had cervical spinal surgery where I had six screws and a metal plate in my neck. And she's speaking the truth. These doctors, they want to put you on all types of pain pills and painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
But for me,
yes.
I have to say that it's more so mind over matter. If you don't like that
right.
feeling, that's one thing that I've never, I mean, I've took the pain pills when I was home kind of recovering from surgery, but I don't
yeah.
like the feeling of being high. I don't like the feeling of being
mm-hmm.
to the point where I am kind of like out of it.
Control.
Where
right.
it's just more so where I don't know what's going on in my surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I more so think it's mind over matter. A lot of people out here on these painkillers and addicted to this stuff because they choose to do it, and they've
yeah.
been doing it for so long, and they enjoy that high. I take
yeah.
I've taken those pills under
right.
The orders of a physician.
Physician.
And after
right.
You know, right now they're giving me lidocaine cream and and all types of other stuff
yeah,
to try
yeah.
to help with
mm-hmm.
the pain that I'm experiencing. But I will never pop a Percocet, oxycodone, Tylenol 3
right.
with codeine, because I don't like the way it makes me feel at the end of the day. It's a nasty,
mm-hmm.
it's a nasty high.
Mm. Yes, it's a whole different ball game.
My hat's off to her for stepping up and trying to be the voice of a community, honestly. And I heard you speaking, ma'am. I didn't get your name, but I heard you speaking. But to be honest, I'm still under pain management right now. And I go and I
mm-hmm.
see old people, 80 plus, in the doctors with their grandkids. They're out here, you know, doctors writing them the prescriptions every month, and they're out here selling
yes.
them pills. It's still as she spoke about it 8 years ago, like she said, she had a doctor writing her scripts 8
yes.
years ago. Oh, trust and belief,
right.
it's still going on. It's definitely
yes,
still going
it's a lot of doctors.
And the community
right.
is that.
Okay.
Hey, I love you so much. Thank you so much for calling in. And you have a powerful voice. I thank you for being transparent and letting people know about your accident, because I didn't even know you lost 4 teeth. But, oh, my God, like, really, you are one of the patient models that doctors will be like, here, just take these, and you'll turn your life upside down, straight up.
I got too much to lose, honey. I got a life. You already know what I stand for. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not easy to be manipulated into doing something that's not conducive to my life or my lifestyle or comfortable for me. I'd rather suffer in pain than deal with the addiction. I work in a prison, and you know that I've been employed for 12 years.
Yeah, she's a prison guard. Yep. She
works
as a CEO in a prison.
All right. Okay, so, all right, okay.
Thank you, T. I love you so much. We got
all right,
the viewers that we got to answer to.
All right,
thank you for calling.
Thank
you so much.
I just want to put out any persons that want to listen in on the show instead of calling and sitting there listening by calling my guest line number. The link is http://tovtr.com/s/11333955. I hope you're writing this down. That is the link to be listening to our live conversation. I will shut this down for a minute, give Shakisa Ellis a break. I will spin a song of what she requested, Life. Favor, you don't know my story.
Mm-hmm.
Be right back.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I've come through.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest.
You
cannot imagine.
The strongholds and the walls that
get. But God has been faithful to me.
He promised
he
would never leave
my story
proves that God can do
deliverance.
Testimony.
Your favor
depends
upon me.
You think you know, but let me tell it.
Life is in favor of me.
God, thank you for your mercy.
God of mercy.
God of mercy. And you love me. Life in favor.
Life in favor upon me.
Oh, how wondrous.
Oh, how wondrous.
God is my story.
Life in favor upon me.
You wouldn't believe my real testimony. Can't imagine. They walked out on me and they gave up on me, said I wouldn't make it, but God brought me out.
All the things I've gone.
If you only knew, you'd understand why I praise like this. Come on, can we sing it up?
I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
Here is my story.
All right, Kay Ellis, why did you request for me to play that song there, Kay?
Well,
Kay, are you with me?
Yes. Yes, I'm here. I'm with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Why you request for me to play that song? Is there a special?
Because.
What?
Hello?
That song just, I'm here. I'm having some distortion with the music is playing in the background. So I chose this song because it's self-explanatory.
All
you know,
right.
The song says, you don't know my story. And a lot of
right.
people look at us every day walking down the street. And I'm telling you, like, I used to be one of those people, that stereotype people. I used to walk, get out my car and be like, okay, you know. I would look at people all different types of ways and be like, giving my own judgment based upon what I'm seeing on the outside. But when I went through what I went through, I realized that people are fighting battles no one really knows about. And you have to stop, we have to stop stereotyping. But this song is a very emotional song because you don't know my story. People look at me every day and they stereotype and say, oh, you don't look like someone that was taking 30 pills a day, or you're pretty, you was a model, you don't look like this and you don't look like that. People are so distorted with their thinking that they think that when you look at someone addicted or going through addiction, that they have to be living on Skid Row, or someone that has to be living on the street, or homeless, or with that hands because they're shooting up heroin, they can't find a vein. But really, I'm telling you, people have to stop stereotyping because I look like a supermodel. And I was a full-blown person suffering with addiction. Full-blown
right.
addiction with a job. And, you know, so that song is powerful because it says, you don't know my story. Period.
All right. Well, thank you for that information.
Yes.
I have a caller, 614, Wendy, Lardy Miss Clardy. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, Lady Diva, and I'm listening in intently on the subject of Chase No More. There is so much that I want to say, but to the young lady, Takesha, is that your name?
Yes.
Takesha.
Okay.
Chakasha.
Ah, my bad. I pronounced it wrong.
Okay. I want to say to you how bold and how courageous you are to come out and let people know that is under an addiction, to give them the motivation that if you could come out, they can come out. There's no excuse. And then
right.
I also applaud you because So you said that you was a supermodel, looking like a supermodel. Yeah. You know people that look like they don't do nothing, but they be doing. We know that. You know what I'm saying? I would even put my hand up to share, you know, that I know what you're talking about because I was there underneath Heron. And like you said, education. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you're real going out, people do stuff because they choose to do it and they like it. Other than that, there's only one other. Either you like it or you don't. You know what I mean? And I just want to tell you how proud I am that you come out and use your story to help others, to inspire others, be that motivation, to be that inspiration for those, using it as a purpose. Because at one point, there was no purpose involved. It was just about you. But see, God is good. He made you come out and become what he wanted you to be, a thing for the enemy, and to let people know that if you can do this, anybody can do it if they want to. I applaud you and I thank you for coming out and not being afraid to stand up, and speak out on things
that
people
are talking
about. I love you, girl. This is
love. Thank you. I love you. Beautiful message. Beautiful message. Beautiful.
I want to thank you, Lady Diva, you know, for the mix of things that you do, you know, in this whole radio. This is a community, you know, and that you're an advocate, not only to help promote people's music, but that you got a love and a soul for people that are hurting as well, and that you are willing to open up your stage, your platform, and allow, you know, someone to get on to tell what God has done in their life. And I just want to thank you.
Precious.
Host for the most, you know what I mean? And I'm so blessed that my BFF and that we met each other the same way here on radio. And you have been person that has been in my life that has been my inspiration to want to be just like you. So I want to thank you for being a blessing to us all. You hear? Humble and all. To Keisha, continue the hard work and the good work that you're putting out
thank you so much.
The men, the women, and the adolescents, whoever that's done, fell to the hole. You know what I mean?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all I want to say. God bless you,
sister. Can I say something really quick?
Please.
I would.
A blessing.
One at a time. Go ahead.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
It's all right here.
Thank you for your comment, first and foremost. And please stay tuned for the rest of this radio show, because I would like to give you my social media information so that you can follow me and I can keep you in my loop, because I really feel your energy. And thank you so much for believing in my story and for the encouragement. Thank you so much.
Oh, I believe in you. I believe in you just like Lady Diva does. We believe in you because you stepped out and you came out to let it be known. That's all it takes, is just to get tired and get sick of and make a choice. Like it or you don't like it, but one way or the other, is you going up or you going to be down and stay down. That's it. And only the strong survive. That's all.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lardy, Miss Clardy, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for sticking by me. You're my BFF. And
Lady
Diva, stay tuned in and listen to more information that she got to say. Miss Ellis, go ahead and give your information of your website, the social sites you're listed on, so our listeners out there can follow up with you. Go right ahead.
Yes. So everyone, if you're listening, whatever part of the country you're in, please follow me on my Facebook. My Facebook is my first, middle, and last name,
Shakaysha K. Ellis. I'm going to spell it. Shakaysha, C-H-E-K-E-S-H-A, K-K-A-Y, Ellis, E-L-L-I-S. That is my Facebook handle. Please follow me on my Facebook. I do Facebook Lives every Thursday, and they are really going viral, and people are being inspired by my stories and what I tell them about addiction, the opioid epidemic, and all these different things. My Instagram is my Instagram is my first and last name. Shakaysha Ellis is my Instagram. C-H-E-K-E-S-H-A. My last name, Ellis. E-L-L-I-S. I'm going to say it again. C-H-E-K-E-S-H-A. E-L-L-I-S. That's my Instagram. And my website, where you can find the book. When the book comes out, you'll find everything on my website. That is how you'll find out everything. My website is chasenomore.org. chasenomore.org. I'm going to say it again. My website, my organization, my foundation is chasenomore.org. chasenomore.org.
Thank you
That's
for that
how
information.
You find out. Yes.
Thank you. So how long has your organization been living online? How long has it been up and going and active?
My organization has been up and active since 2014. And
wow.
I just want to share, yes, I wanted to share a short story about my organization and how I got the name for it.
Go ahead.
I established Chase No More Organization, Foundation now, because now I am a nonprofit organization. And I established that name because when I was addicted to those opioids for those 11 years, I chased opioids the whole year, the whole 11 years. I was running. And as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm moving my arms like I'm running a marathon. I'm moving my legs and arms like I'm running a marathon. I'm trying to get you guys visual. I want you guys to picture me. Yes, I want you guys to look at me and picture me right now. I'm running a marathon. Because guess what? I was at those pharmacies. I was at those doctors. I was walking in there with a business suit on, with a knee brace, with a smile, like, hey, how are you? I just want to get a refill on my Lorset, okay? That was my life for 11 years. I had to make a whole different alter ego to go into these pharmacies and these doctors to get these pills because doctors are trained, pharmacists are trained to understand and know when a patient or a customer is addicted to a drug. They know. They have to. They're giving out the medication. So don't think that if you're walking to a pharmacy that the doctors can't look at your body language and tell if you're walking to an early refill. Okay?
Right.
That was my life.
Right.
I used to walk in like, I would like my Lorset, you know, I'm going out of town. Fine. Okay? I got to go to Canada. I need my Lorset.
Oh my goodness.
That was my life.
Yeah, damn.
That was like, so Chase No More, the name was developed from chasing. So when I got
right,
all those pills,
got it.
When I had my aha moment, I was like, guess what? I'm chasing no more. And that became my foundation's name.
Okay. Got it.
Yep.
So, Miss Ellis, tell us about your upcoming book that's soon to be released. The name of the book, where we'll be wanting to find it at online so we can purchase it. Any information or any details? Go ahead.
So I'm still in the making of bringing out this book. It'll be out this spring. And it's called Overcoming Opioid Addiction. Overcoming Opioid Addiction.
Okay.
And so, if you're following me on my website, you will find it on the website, and you will find it on Amazon. But I'm going to give you the website one more time so that you guys can follow me on the website as well as the social media, because I'm always posting stuff on the social media as well as the website to keep people abreast about my movement, okay?
Right,
so
right.
Here is the website. It's chasenomore.org. I'm going to spell it. CHASENOMORE.org. Again, I'm going to spell it one more time. ChaseNoMore.org. CHASENOMORE.org. You'll find everything you need on the website or on my social medias.
Thank you for that information. Thank you. So I would like to ask you this. What is your ultimate desire of what you want the people to get out of your story, your book, basically your life story, what you experienced? You had to have surgery to get implants put in your, for you to hear again. And
right.
So what is your ultimate desire of what you want the folks to get out of your story and your book soon to be released?
So I just want to say this. I have a full autobiography coming out in 2020. I am putting together an autobiography, which is a powerful read. Yes, it's a very powerful read. So because I'm so passionate about my story and my movement, that I felt like right now, I just want to say this first, 72,000 Americans have died from drug overdoses from heroin and opioids between the years of 2017 and now. 72,000 Americans have died. So what I'm saying is this, people are turning a blind eye in a deaf ear, and it really upsets me because now I feel responsible because I walk that walk and I talk that talk and I understand the movement of being a person addicted, suffering with substance use disorder. So my movement right now, I am saying to people, listen, you have to advocate for your loved ones. You have to advocate for yourself. You have to ask your doctor questions. And if a doctor is giving you opioids for something that is non-life-threatening or something that's not debilitating, you should be taking them for a short period of time. My message is this. Advocate, educate. Advocate, educate. The more you read, the more you – if you don't have any resources, but you can go on Facebook, you can follow my lives because I'm always educating the community and talking about opioids and opioid addiction, and all the people that are dying. 72,000 Americans is a whole town. It's a whole state, a few states combined. How do people just not look at this and say, okay, well, my kids are doing good. They're in Ivy League schools. We got good jobs. We have money in the bank. We got, you know, everything is great in our lives. How can you just turn a blind eye? This is what I tell people in my lives. Listen, you guys have to do better. The communities, the parents, you have to do better. Everything starts from home. Talk to your kids about drugs. I talked to some young kids that was 10 years old yesterday, and I told them a bunch of kids in Philadelphia got sick 2 days ago because someone gave them cookies laced with some type of drug. They're in children's hospital right now recovering from that. So what I'm telling you, everyone that I'm passionate about is the fact that it doesn't matter that you're in a position where you're not being affected. What matters is you could be affected at any time, period. And so my movement is about advocating and educating, period. Advocate and educate. Advocate for your loved ones, for yourself, and keep learning about what I'm telling you. The opioid epidemic and crisis is real.
All right. Thank you for that information. Also, to persons that are trying to listen in on this show tonight, just for your information, I put out links, before I go on air a week ahead of time. Mm. So to the persons that are complaining that they didn't see the link and that I don't put out the link's address enough, I'm sorry, you must not be paying attention. You know, so I'm a very informative person, so I don't know what you're missing or what you're not paying attention to. So what you need to do is catch up to the links that are given way before I go on air. So I do give out the links. Don't call on the show just to sit and listen. Call on the show to give
some people might be confused.
Some people are confused. So I'm a very informative person,
right.
And I am all on networks, social sites. So I'm sorry if you're not paying attention. It's not my fault if you missed out. So there, that's what I got to say. And thank you for that information, Miss Ellis. So what we'll do is, can you tell us briefly about the book again, the name of the book, and when did you say it will be out?
Yeah, so I'm still in the working on it, and it should be out this spring, and it's called Overcoming Opioid Addiction. And it's going to talk about how I became addicted, my addiction, the withdrawals, how I cold turkey the addiction, my recovery, and what I did to maintain myself after that. Because I just want to say this, out of all fairness, I do not try to discredit 12-step programs because I did not use a 12-step program. But still, a lot of people look down on me and they say, oh, well, she didn't use a 12-step program, so we don't want her speaking at our venue because we're only 12-step affiliated. So I just want to say this with much passion. People are dying like flies from addiction. So why not bring people into these venues that are clean and recovered, regardless of what their former recovery was? There are many pathways to recovery, period. And I think that people should be informed that if you don't follow a 12-step program, okay, it's many other ways. People, it just depends on the person. It depends on the drug you were taking, how long you were taking it, and all these things are factors in how you get off of the drug. You can't, everybody can't just cold turkey. So I tell people all the time, never, ever just stop a drug without medical consulting your doctor or whoever's prescribing an opioid or a detox center or a rehabilitation center. Don't ever do that because it can be fatal.
Right.
So,
you
know,
don't know what your body, you don't know what your body is going to do. Everybody's body is made up different. You know, so, yeah, don't go cold turkey, you guys. And Ms. Ellis, do you have any upcoming community events of you being a speaker for an organization?
Yes, I do. And I am so proud because I was just reaching out. I'm always sharing my story every single day. Sharing my story is like a smile. When you walk down the street and you smile at a person, you say, hi. Have a good day. You know, the people at the toll booth, the person at the pharmacy, the person at the Acme that took your change and gave you your change back. You have to, this is how I move with my story. I walk to every person I look at, I'm giving them my story. And the crazy part is that about 90% of the people I talk to know someone that's struggling with addiction. So I have an upcoming event this summer that I'm so excited about. I didn't want to even talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it now. I am going to be partnering with Blue Cross Independence, which is the medical insurance company. They have a movement called Your Opioid Story, and I'm going to be one of their faces. I'm so excited about this. This is one of the most major things that I have in store right now. So I'm thanking Blue Cross Independence, Your Opioid Story, for including me to share my story this summer and be one of your faces. That is a major situation. So I just want to get my story out. My goal is to let people know that, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
If there was hope for me, there is hope for you, regardless of what your situation is. Don't give up. Don't give up on the people that you love. Don't do it. Because if my parents would have gave up on me, I wouldn't be here today. I would be dead. I would be 6 feet under.
Thank you for that information. Thanks. Also, I'd like to ask you, is there a shout out that you want to give to persons that supported you and what going through your life's suffering? Persons that supported you, stayed with you. You're more than welcome to give a shout out to all those people right now. Go ahead, Miss Ellis.
Yeah, so I have so many wonderful people that have been a part of this journey. And I'm telling you, like, you know, when you're building your brand and you're writing a book and you're going through all these different steps, my religion is Christian. So my higher being is Jesus Christ. And I believe that through Jesus Christ, he sent me all the people that I have in my life right now that's a part of my movement. I mean, I have met strangers that have supported me. And I never knew them before they heard my story. And so I'm going to give out my shout-outs right now. The first person is my dad. My dad, I love him so much. My dad is Elder George Brookins, resting in peace. He passed away 2 years ago. But he's one of the people, and him and my mother, that prayed for me and got me through the whole entire addiction. The Churches of Christ Written in Heaven, which is the umbrella of who they're under, Churches of Christ Written in Heaven, they prayed for me. I mean, I had churches all over the world, all over the South, in the South, praying for me. And I thank God for that, because when you have prayer, this is just my opinion, when you have people praying for you, it builds up an umbrella of protection. It's like a barrier. It's like putting Vaseline on your skin to cover up a rash that's itching. You have people that's there that's praying for you. So I want to thank my dad. He's resting in heaven right now. Elder George Lee Brookins Sr. and my mom, Mary Irene Brookins. She drives me crazy, but I love her more than cook food. My mother is when you guys read my book, you're going to read something about her. And when I was going through the withdrawals, that she made me some food, some comfort food that I ate, and it kept the food down and made me feel better throughout my addiction. But I just want to say that my mother and my father was my foundation. I want to thank my baby boy, my miracle baby. He's 7 years old. His name is Houston Ellis. And mommy loves you so much. Thank you for being patient while mommy's been working on this book and all these different projects. Thank you for entertaining yourself and being an only child, because I know that is very rough. I want to thank the wonderful woman, Mrs. Charity Hundayan. I love her. She drives me nuts too. But she has helped me put my story in words, and I thank her for that solely. I really do. I want to thank Leonard Robinson. I want to thank Leonard Robinson. I have about a couple more of these shout-outs. They're going to last for about 5 minutes.
Go ahead. Time is running.
Okay, so Leonard Robinson, he's been a mentor since 25 years ago. I love him more than anything. Like, this guy is a mega pastor. He does a lot, but he's branded me. He started branding me in the 90s before I even became addicted to the drugs. I want to thank Kathleen O'Brien. She's a medical reporter from NewJersey.com. She gave me a platform to share my story. I was on the front page of the New Jersey Star Ledger newspaper, which is all distributed out of New York and New Jersey. And I want to give a thanks to Rhonda Cooper Marfus. She's a yarn bomber. She yarns all over the world. And I love her because she is passionate about my story as much as I am about it. And thank you for them 6 a.m. wake-up calls saying, get up before Houston gets up and do this and do that. Do what you have to do. Thank you, Rhonda. I love you so much. John Yeager. He is a Falls Township, Pennsylvania Police Department police officer. His program is called Program Hero. John Yeager is endeared to my heart. I love him because John Yeager gave me a platform to start sharing my story with his movement, Program Hero. We have spoken at over 15 schools in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And thank you, John Yeager, for so much. I want to thank LJ, Strictly Graphics. He did my book cover. Thank you for believing in me. I appreciate your time, your patience, and everything. Phil Stewart, he is my website developer. Thank you for saving my website and going through all these things with the web that I didn't know about building a website. Jamie Bowles, from WJMS Radio, from Sound Off. I love you. Thank you for giving me a platform to share my story on your show. Thank you, LJ Production. She has a story called Her Story, docuseries. Thank you for giving me a platform. Thank you to Ivory J. Hunter, Sabu. We grew up together, my brother's best friend. Thank you for being a beta reader for my book. Thank you for all everything that you've done for me and your connections. Thank you for Kalai Shireen for your inspirational advice. She is a woman that's anointed. I need her in my life. Thank you to Mac Mullings. I'm going to be on his radio show next Saturday. It's called Rise Above Radio, and he's live from Oklahoma City. Thank you, Mac Mullings, for giving me a voice and a platform. I'll be doing another podcast next week. My last shout-out comes from the Willingboro Public Library staff. I love all of the staff there, the managers, the people that run the whole entire program. Paulette Doe Williams, Sandra Krantz, I love you. You are a silly woman. And Sylvia Morris, thank you for bringing me through. Brother Daiwan Packy and Greg from No More Pack Facts program, thank you for giving me a platform. Their program is called No More PA Fact. They do all these great things in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for the youth and all of the people out there. Karen Merrick, my girl from Camden. Listen, we got so much to do. We have so many upcoming projects. She's well connected. She works in the Senate and all of that. Thank you very much. And the last person I want to give a shout out to is Ryan Hampton. He is the author of American Fix. His book is called Inside the Opioid Crisis. Thank you for being a friend. This book is a New York Times bestseller, and thank you for talking to me on my inboxes and giving me direction and listening to my stories. I really appreciate you. Thank you so very much.
All right. All right. Caller, area code 215. State your name and speak, please.
Okay.
Yeah,
hello?
Yes, my name is Troy Rogers.
Hello, Troy.
Hi.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Keisha, can she elaborate on the signs of addiction?
Yes, definitely. Most definitely. There are a lot of signs of addiction. And, you know, before it gets to an addiction, it can be a dependent situation. So there's a lot of different signs that people can look for, things like, you know, you're thinking about your medication and you're getting early refills. And it's a lot of different signs that people don't understand, and they have people that are fully struggling and they don't know, you know, if you're craving this medication more than when it's supposed to be prescribed, then that can be a sign. Wanting more of the medication, you can't control your use. You spend lots of time recovering after you use the drug. You could be going through legal problems, drinking and driving, or getting high and driving. You can be having mental and physical problems and still using the drug. You can become tolerant, which means you need more of the drug. And that's the problem. If the more you, the longer you take the drug, the more you'll need it. And using the drug more, taking more than what you're supposed to take. Those are some of the different signs of addiction.
All right. Thank you for that information.
Thank
you for calling.
I went through all of this stuff. Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Miss Ellis, we're going to move along. Minutes are going fast. Would you like to give any words of wisdom for persons that are suffering with this addiction today? Any advice, truthfully, straight from your heart? Go right ahead.
Yes, so I just wanted to say this. What I didn't know 20-something years ago could have saved my entire life for what I went through. But what I went through wasn't meant for me. It was meant for you and other people. It wasn't meant for me. So my message is this, and I just want to read, I forgot, how much time do we have?
40 minutes.
All right, can I read an excerpt from my book really quick? Okay,
I
want to give that message. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so the excerpt from my book, are you guys ready? It was a Saturday.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I was feeling,
It was a Saturday, and I was feeling ill from withdrawal, so I desperately took that long drive. I arrived at the pharmacy, and the prescription was filled. The pharmacist said, your total comes to $72.99. I said, excuse me? 99 cents? I paid $24.99 for this. The pharmacist said, okay, let me call the number on your prescription card. And I said, okay, and I sat down. I figured because it was a Saturday night that the discount card company would be unavailable. But guess what? I figured wrong. I didn't know what was taking so long or what was going on back there. So I sat and waited for about a half hour. And then I finally got up and I walked to the pharmacy counter to ask what was going on. The pharmacist was speaking directly to the discount card people on a Saturday night. I was flabbergasted. The pharmacist saw me at the counter. She hung up the phone and went to the fax machine. She pulled out a 10-page fax from the prescription card company. She came over to the counter where I was standing, and she said to me, you're getting the same medication from 14 different doctors, so we cannot fill this prescription. We cannot give you this prescription. We have sent out alerts to all of your doctors notifying them of this fraudulent activity. And then she said, you are a diversion patient. That's an excerpt from the book.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you. I hope everyone heard and learned from this showcase tonight. The show should not have been missed. If you missed it, the show has been recorded. Is there any other information you would like to give to our listeners out there, Miss Ellis?
Yes, I just wanted to say the final thing that I want to say is this. If you or a loved one is suffering with addiction from painkillers or anything, the first thing to do is to put your hand up and realize that you can't do it alone. You can't. There's no way. You cannot do it alone. You have to surrender, and you have to reach out, and you have to ask somebody for help. The first step can be something as simple as asking some questions, like, hey, reach out to me. You have all of my social media. I'm going to give it to you again before this conversation ends. You can say, hey, I need help. I am taking these pills. I got a gastric bypass, or my son got this surgery, or my daughter broke her arm, and she's taking more, and she's acting weird, and she's being private, and she's doing all these things, or he's doing this. Reach out and ask me questions. I'm not a doctor, but I can give you advice based upon my own experience. I have been in recovery since August the 8th, 2010, and I thank God every day for allowing me to stay sober and not ever take another painkiller. So I thank everybody for listening tonight. I thank you for all the callers. If you could not get through, I'm sorry. You guys can text me. You can go on my Facebook page and inbox me. You can ask me anything you want. And I thank everyone. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Do you want me to give my website again?
Yes, go ahead and do that, please.
Yes, so my website is chasenomore.org, chasenomore.org. And my Facebook and Instagram are the same, Chakesha K. Ellis, CHEKESHAKAYELLIS. Thank you guys for listening. Advocate. Don't give up on people that are addicted. Advocate. Advocate, educate. Advocate, educate.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Ellis. Sorry I didn't pronounce your name correctly, but I know who you are. Girlfriend,
yes, you do.
Thank
you
so much. Thank you so much for taking out time, for being on my platform. You are always welcome to come back for any new updates, any new projects. Just come on back. Thank you, BFF, Lardy, Miss Clardy, for calling in and listening in and giving a great comment. And thanks all to all the other callers that called in. This is Lady Diva signing out. Thank you, everyone, for your support. I am going to spin the great song that Miss Ellis requested for me to play. It's called Tomorrow by the Winans. And I also will play
You can't run by the undisputed truth. They have a new CD album out. Good night, everyone. Have a blessed evening and keep the love. Love everybody and help anybody that's asking for help, just like Miss Ellis said. And check out her social site and her website. You'll love this girl. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Your needs, and you said, I know, but tomorrow, ooh, tomorrow, I'll give my life. Tomorrow, I thought about today.
make your problems go away.
Tell me why do you try to hide in the bottle? Since when has drinking helped your thinking? Think about it. Where have